It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
We have a lot to get to this hour.
Before, though, yeah. We have breaking news out of Sacramento Kings land.
Oh, we do?
Oh, we do.
Okay. Really? Is this... You can't screw around with this stuff.
I mean, it's not like super breaking news, but it's breaking news.
It's breaking news. All right. Let's go. Breaking news sounder. Jay Mars.
According to Christy in our YouTube chat...
Oh, God. I love Christy, but what?
Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian are back together, baby. This matters.
This matters. Didn't I just read something this morning? And by the way, audience, I'm on your side for this one. I did not know where Jay was going there. We're in. This is like any prospective fathers out there who have a 9-month-old pregnant significant other, and somebody's like, and she calls down. She's like, it's time to go. And then you run upstairs and like, oh, and then they go, just kidding.
Okay.
We are a pregnant fan base right now waiting for trade laboring.
This matters.
This does not.
While he is a member of the Kings, and if they're together.
Yeah, we're screwed.
That's my point. Which Tristan Thompson are we getting?
What do you mean which trade? We're getting the one that's he has to go.
So you agree with me, then it's important.
We got rid of Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. And now we're bringing a different curse on board.
Again, that's why this is breaking news. This matters.
I could not care less about any of this, but I swear I saw something today on a Facebook board or something that I thought he was dating. Is Iggy Azalea or somebody? I thought it was that Tristan Thompson was seen with some other pop suit. I don't know.
That's a storyline every day.
I don't know.
But they could just be friends while he is faithful to his Chloe.
No. I don't know. I can't keep up. I don't know who any of these folks are.
Okay, who has a better relationship, Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian or Draymond Green and Kevin Durant?
Wait, who? Oh. No. I'm not taking your.
Oh wow, you're not taking my transition.
No, I'm not taking your transition because now you've got me on this thing.
That's judgmental.
The rumors linking Sacramento Kings big man Tristan Thompson to a romantic reunion with Khloe Kardashian has just been doused with a bucket of ice cold water. Looks like this on and off relationship will remain off after rumors have surfaced pertaining to Thompson's alleged relationship with Grammy Award winning rapper Iggy Azalea.
How old is that?
It is 2 days ago.
Okay, clearly things change in 2 days in that world, don't they?
So stupid. And the fact that I even know something about it is sad in itself. We actually have even crazier breaking news from our listeners. I take you to the text line at 916-339-1140 from the 801. Dave, I need your opinion. I have been in talks with someone who claims they have one of the three prop trophies used in the Karate Kid. The All Valley Trophy.
Oh my gosh.
He's asking $350 for it.
Oh.
If it is indeed real, is it worth it? And if it's not the real one, it's an amazing replica. Would $350 be too much if it was a replica? If it was a replica, it would be too much. Yeah. If it's real and you can get it authenticated, I'll tell you right now, buy it for $350. I will pay you $500 same day.
I'll pay you $1,000.
Jay will pay you $1,000 same day for that trophy. I kind of had a feeling you were come over the top for me.
Yeah, no, I will.
Which is funny. Joke's on you because I was going to buy it and give it to you as a gift. Not anymore. What an idiot. That was the whole reason I was buying it. Now you just cost yourself $500.
Really?
Actually, $1,000. Yeah. It's going to be my birthday gift to you.
No, it wasn't. You don't even know what my birthday is.
Yes, I do.
When?
That one day.
Right.
In that one month.
Anyways, better friends, Khloe and Tristan, or Katie and Draymond. Let's try this again.
Katie and Draymond Green sat down with each other and had a nice conversation. We're just going to run through a lot of this here. We've got a few quotes, so listen in. And we apologize for the bleeps, but we want to keep our job. So just let's play a game of guess what was in the bleep. And please do it in your head, not out loud. There's kids in the car. Here's Kevin Durant on joining the Warriors.
You ultimately decide to come to the Warriors knowing that the scrutiny would be there, knowing that, you know, everybody would say the Warriors were this great team. Was that driven by, I don't give a what y'all think, this is good for me? Or was that just strictly just a basketball decision?
It was a basketball decision, but I knocked down the, like, not giving a ladder with that too. You know what I'm saying? It kind of knocked down two birds with one stone with that. But it was mainly, I felt like I was the absolute perfect fit with what you guys were doing on both ends of the bar. And I knew my game had reached a point where I needed to really see what that looked like. And I thought that was just a no-brainer. I would do that a million times. And, you know, again, I didn't second guess at all. And I knew that's what I wanted to do when I was going into these meetings. But I really just had to confirm, go through the process. But, like, I knew from watching the games, just looking at interviews, just seeing everything that y'all are about, it's like, that's the way I wanted to play, and that's the way I need to go to, you know, continue to keep getting better as a player. So once I tunnel vision on that, I knew everything would come afterwards, and it was just me going through that experience and see how I was going to deal with it. And it went perfect.
Could Kevin Durant repair all of that he joined the Warriors thing if he came to the Kings?
What?
Okay, so you know everybody gets on Kevin Durant for stealing rings by joining the Warriors,
uh-huh.
Right? But what if he came to the Kings and won a championship here? Wouldn't that kind of would that do it?
Yeah, in a weird
I think you should try.
In a weird universe, it's kind of equivalent to LeBron going back to Cleveland. Like, he leaves the Cavs, goes and wins the rings in Miami, a la, you know, KD leaving OKC and going to Golden State. Right. Now, obviously, again, not 100% the same because of the Cleveland ties LeBron had, but you get where I'm going with that.
When did Kevin Durant play for the Warriors? I forget off the top.
He played for the Warriors from 2016 to 2019, three seasons.
I have long railed about this and the fact that someday there's going to be some awesome think pieces as soon as we get a journalist or two that actually decides to dive in and probably blackball themselves for reporting on it. Let me just give you a completely unrelated story real quick. Just a sidebar, if you will, Jay, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Because this is from this story here I'm about to read is from July 29th, just a couple weeks ago. Kevin Durant tallied a 2,500% return on his Robinhood stock today. Remarkably, it's his second windfall of the month. The NBA star bought into Robinhood during the online broker's venture capital rounds through his 35 ventures. Robinhood made its stock market debut at $38 a share, giving it a value of $32 billion. Durant's firm bought into Robinhood in 2017 when it was valued at just $1.2 billion. He also had a huge gain when Mercury, an online bank for other startups, raised Series B financing at a valuation of $1.6 billion, 16 times what the business was worth when Durant was part of Mercury's Series A financing in 2019. Fellow NBA player Andre Iguodala also invested in Mercury. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, if you're on the other side of this conversation, oh, big deal, Dave. So Kevin Durant and his partner, and it's really his partner that they're a team. Well, they're real savvy, just like Andre Iguodala was. We're moving from a world where geography matters in the sense of Los Angeles, Madison Square Garden, that type of thing, Miami, to where the exposure from ownership and where they're located matters.
Yeah.
Do not think for a second that what Kevin Durant said right there is the entire story, because I can promise you it's not.
No, that's the basketball story.
That's the basketball side. He knew coming to Golden State was going to expose him to Golden State's ownership, many of which are Silicon Valley heavyweights. And by the way, was it a savvy move by KD? Yeah. Do I blame him one iota? Heck no. Not one ounce do I blame him. But you're not getting those same opportunities from other ball clubs. A lot of them.
Clay Bennett don't got those.
Nope. Not that I feel bad for him. Anyways, just thought that was interesting. Let's get into the argument between Draymond and Kevin Durant.
For my own personal sanity, because I've been getting my kicked ever since you left. So just for my own personal sanity, how much did our argument against the Clippers drive you to ultimately lead the Warriors?
It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen. Bob Myers and tried to just discipline you and think that
that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that all out. I remember watching The Last Dance, and when Scotty didn't go into the game, the whole team in the locker room said, Scotty, that was up that you did that. We needed that. We just needed to throw all of that out on the table and say, yo, Dre, okay, like, that was up that we even had to go through that. Let's just wipe our hands with that and go finish the task. I don't think we did that, and we tried to dance around it. I just didn't like how all of that, just the vibe between all of that, it just made weird to me. And I'd rather us be who we say we are, family first. Communication is key. Like, we didn't show that, and that's what rubbed me the wrong way more than anything.
When we landed back from L.A., Hazel was sitting in the car for an hour and 45 minutes. They pulled me in that room at Signature for an hour and 45 minutes, and they tried to tell me, you need to apologize. And I told them, I'll talk to Kay, but y'all aren't going to tell me what I need to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went on for an hour and 45 minutes saying a bunch of and ultimately they realized, all right, we're not getting through to him. We're going to try again in the morning. And so we met the next morning, and they said, all right, you slept on it. You ready to apologize? And I told them right then and there, I said, y'all about to this up. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. And there's nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to this up. And in my opinion, they it up.
I think so, too.
They told me right then and there, like, we're going to suspend you for this game. I laughed in their face, literally laughed in their face. And Bob said to me, he said, wow, that was not the reaction I was looking for or expecting. And I said, well, either I'm going to laugh in your face or I'm going to cuss you up. So you pick, I'm going to choose laugh. So I think what you're doing is funny, and so I'm going to laugh. And so it's interesting to hear you say essentially the same thing that I told them that day.
Should the Warriors have not gotten involved? How do you not get involved?
You know, that's like the third time I've heard that clip back now.
That was Draymond Green and Kevin Durant talking to each other about it.
And I'm sure there's something to what he's saying with the way management handled it. You know, especially Durant saying like they just kind of tried to, you know, shove it, you know, suspend him, be done with it, move on, right?
Right.
I get that. I guess what the other side of that that I don't see enough people talking about is Draymond Green has like no accountability in this whatsoever.
No, not at all.
And that's the part that bothers me. Like, you just called another grown man, your teammate, your friend, the B. You
the
just
B word
don't, you
on
don't,
national television.
You don't do that.
We don't need you.
And you didn't think to yourself, like, you know what? I should probably go to Kevin on my own and be like, that wasn't cool. That's my bad. Like, I messed this up. He never thought to go in front of the team and be like, you know what? That's all me. This is my bad. And the fact that he takes like no responsibility for it whatsoever
is...
Has
he ever taken responsibility?
And that's the problem. It's like, I hate defending management. Like, it's no one ever wants to do that.
Right.
But dude, accountability. Like, you cannot sit there and be mad at them when you have none. You have none. It's kind of whack.
Wow. There is no accountability. Management at some point. Now, I understand the whole let the players work it out.
Yeah.
I get it. But then you got to work it out because you have other players. By the way, there's more on that team than just Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. And what Draymond Green leaves out is that you have the rest of your teammates and coaching staff and GMs that all have to answer 500 questions
yes.
to the media about this, and they don't want to, and they have to tiptoe around it, and they have to worry about it, and they don't want to say the wrong thing. It's one more thing in a very pressure-filled situation that's on their mind that takes a mental toll. So if you want to – what should have been said ultimately was, you handle it or I'm going to handle it. Mm-hmm. We're going to handle it as management or you handle it, but you've got a day because we can't have this be a distraction. Right. I don't care how you handle it. And by the way, there's no guarantee while tempers were hot, there's no guarantee that they would have been handled in the proper way and put to bed. It might have been exacerbated. Oh, and also, there might be something to the idea that this was a cumulative thing with Draymond Green. So it was a one-time incident. The disease of Moore argues that success is often the first step towards disaster. After success, everyone tends to shift into a more selfish mode. You sacrifice your own personal gain to win as a group in sports. But once you achieve that goal, you want to reap the rewards as individuals.
Yeah.
Regardless of what those rewards might be or mean. Everyone wants more money. Everyone wants more playing time. Everybody wants more recognition. Eventually, you lose perspective and stop doing the little things that make teams win and keep winning. And that's paraphrased from Pat Riley's book, Showtime, when he talked about the disease of more. Now, this isn't about money, but it was a little bit about recognition.
Right.
My turf, your turf. I'm the alpha. You're the alpha.
Who's the star of this team? Is it Kevin's team? Is it Steph's team? What's Draymond's role in that? Where does Clay fit in? A lot of egos, man. A lot of egos.
There's KD on your team.
That's just the talk around me the last few years. And before I got to Golden State, I was just happy-go-lucky, like just bright-eyed to the experience, not knowing what was ahead. By the first year, I knew exactly what we needed to do in order for us to win. I knew exactly what my role was, and I locked on it with so much focus and determination to not around every day. That's the most enjoyable experience I ever had after that first one.
Now, the question a lot of people are asking is Draymond Green going to get, is there going to be retribution? The answer is, I think, 100% no.
No, they're not going to.
Steve Kerr's going to, remember not that long ago, he took exception to the report that he said that the last season with KD wasn't fun, completely out of context. I think it was Drew Schiller, mm-hmm. The Bay Area, that he was upset with. Listen, I in reading Scott Howard Cooper's book, when you read about Steve Kerr's life and what he's gone through and what he's seen and the tragedy he's dealt with and the craziness, Steve Kerr's going to look at stuff like this and he's probably just going to chuckle. And, okay, that's it. Move on.
Yeah. Steve also played in the NBA at a high level for championship teams with, oh, by the way, guys with the biggest egos in the whole league.
Yeah, he's seen it come and go. He knows what a diva is. And you're dealing with a couple of guys who have a little bit of a divishness.
Some would say a lot of it.
Vlade Divas. I mean, they're
work on that.
Thank you. The idea that Draymond Green, maybe at some point they do move Draymond Green, but I think the biggest reason they wouldn't move Draymond Green is named Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Draymond Green, say what you want about him, but he is part of the heart and soul of that this current franchise. And someday, yes, he'll probably, if he doesn't retire early, like we talked about, to go take over for Charles Barkley. Draymond Green's one of those guys too, as much as I hate the idea, would look mighty fine at this point in the Kings uniform.
Sure, depending on what you traded him for, but I'm with you.
But I'm saying if you found out that, this Buddy Hield Marvin Bagley combo that's being thrown around, if it ended up being that they were traded for Draymond Green,
I don't even think you'd have to trade Marvin. I think you could just probably swap Buddy straight for Draymond.
I think you're right. Either way, I'd be like, okay, let's go.
Do you think after hearing that,
through my gritted teeth,
listening to Draymond and KD talk, do you ultimately put the departure on Kevin Durant on the Warriors management for not being able to handle that correctly, or do you put it on Draymond Green for doing what he did, having no accountability, and kind of letting the team linger in that sense? If you had to put it on one or the other,
I
think the easy answer is both played a role, obviously, but who do you think played more of a role, I guess? It's tough.
I truly think that you're talking about who played a role, more of the role in KD leaving?
Yeah.
I think KD did what he set out to do and wanted to go try to do it somewhere else.
But do you think if the locker room has the harmony,
don't think he stays.
You really so you think he was gone regardless?
I think he's a hired gun at this point. I think he wants to do what he wants to do. I think so now he's going to go back closer to home to DC, in DC to play in New York. And I think in his heart of hearts, he probably, if you asked him, would have rather had the same situation, but at Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
I think Kevin Durant's the type of guy that would love the idea of reinvigorating the New York Knicks franchise, but that didn't work.
Well, and to be fair, he had the opportunity.
Yes, he did.
But I think he chose Brooklyn because I think winning supplemented that.
Right. And he had Kyrie waiting and then
better ownership.
Right, they get James Harden. Speaking of basketball, and then we're going to move on here. I like to do this every once in a while for various members of the franchise. Today was approval rating for Monty McNair. Just what is your approval rating of Monty McNair and his front office currently? I put this out about an hour ago. Almost 600 votes. This is going to be a big poll, by the way. Getting a lot of response on this. What do you think the disapproval, approval, approval, disapproval split is?
I mean, coming off the Summer League Championship, believe it or not, that is going to influence this poll. Mm-hmm. And watching Davion Mitchell, you know, I would say the approval rating is at least 85%.
88% approve, 12% disapprove. Yeah, it'd be interesting. And I like to save these, and I like to put them out after different events.
Because, you know, if the Kings start 2-3, it's going to be approval rating 10%.
Yeah, absolutely right. And if the Kings make, a trade between now and then, it'll be interesting, depending on the trade, where that goes, where it comes from. But that's got to be his highest approval rate. And by the way, and there's some people out there that are absolutely flabbergasted and angry. I quote, "You folks are idiots." He's basically putting out the same mediocre team we had last year, plus a draft pick. Like, there are some people that really, really, really are not happy with that. I think until you, make the playoffs, it'll be fine.
No matter if they don't make a trade, are you still holding on to that this is going to be a playoff team?
I never said it was going to be a playoff team.
What did you say?
You mean my pinned tweet?
Yeah.
I said they're going to make the postseason.
Okay. If they don't make a trade, do you still think they will be a play-in team?
I do.
Okay.
I do think they will this year. I do. I truly do. Remember, I'm the guy last year who thought they wouldn't break 30 wins. We're not doing this every year. I think they're a play-in team this year. I think there's a lot of combination of a lot of things. This team, again, I can't control injuries. I can't control what you can't control. But I'm saying there's a lot of upside on this team.
There's a ton of upside on this team. A
lot of upside. And I think we'll find out really quick. Either Luke Walton's going to come into his own, which most people, by the way, if I put out that same poll for Luke Walton, it's probably flipped. I mean, I'm serious. I'll bet you it's about 80-something percent in disapprove.
Oh, it's 90% disapprove. I think so. I think it's at 90. For that internet, Twitter, yeah, for sure.
I'll do that during the break. Let's see. All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, I still want to get to this sports movie conversation, just at least an homage to one of the greatest sports movies ever that turned 25 this month. But when we get back, Once in a Blue Moon.
My once in a blue moon is changing.
Oh, it is?
I have found something on the interwebs that you're going to love this as a music NBA fan.
Oh, well, I'm teased. We'll do that next.
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Jeremiah, we told you about the poll put out earlier.
You.
Approval rating. Well, we put out a lot of polls. But approval rating on Monty McNair. Just before we went to break. 87% now approve of Monty McNair. 13% disapprove. As promised, 4 minutes ago, what is your approval rating of Luke Walton and his coaching staff currently? Now, it was only 4 minutes ago, but I thought the Monty McNair one would get some notice. 95 votes in, 64%. That already surprises you, right? Doesn't matter which way I go.
I told you I'd be in the 90.
64% disapproved, 36% approved. And I would say I would have put the over-under. I'm still putting the over-under at 75% disapproval.
I would take the over all day on that one.
We'll see how that one develops. You got a couple of good ones. I want to get right to them. Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Do you want me to do the one on the paper and the one that I found, the NBA music one?
Okay. Go ahead. In whatever order you wish.
Here's the one on the paper for all you Giants fans out there. The San Franciscos are 78-42 this season. The last two teams with that good of a record through 120 games after finishing below 500 the previous season were the 1998 Padres and the 2006 Tigers, who both reached the World Series.
Wow. And lost.
Debbie Downer. Anyways, August 19th, 1977, arguably the greatest array of overall talent went to the Forum in Los Angeles for the big shootout basketball game, benefiting the Soulville Foundation, a charity for underprivileged children founded by Willie Knowles. Amongst NBA stars that played in this game, Paul Westfall, Marcus Johnson, Julius Dr. J. Irving, George Gervin. Like, that's all great, right? Yeah. But the real basketball was played at halftime. Get this. A four-team celebrity tournament happened. Can I tell you, these are musical celebrity teams. Would you like to know who they were?
Oh, not only do I want to know who they are, but I wish this was TV so we could show one of the clips.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
War.
Uh-huh.
Marvin Gaye teaming up with, get this, Cheech and Chong.
Uh-huh.
And the Jacksons, Jackie, Tito, and Randy.
Yeah.
Who also won the tournament.
How about that?
What an array of musical talent sharing a basketball
the
court.
The Jacksons. Well, you know, they did have an album called Victory.
This is a fine point.
I thought this was going to be something else because I just saw a clip of Kenny Rogers juking Michael Jordan out of his shoes and calmly hitting like a 15-foot jumper in another one of those celebrity games. Now, shockingly, Jordan's team won. They came back and won. But, dude, there is a video clip of Kenny Rogers pump faking, Jordan flying over him, and then he drains the 15-footer. The gambler, dude.
Dude, do you think Jordan has ever, like, been okay with that? Like, he probably still, like, wakes up in the morning and is angry about the time Kenny Rogers pump faked him.
He probably showed up at Kenny Rogers' house 2 weeks later, challenged him to a one-on-one duel, and just beat him by 300 to nothing.
And still didn't feel good about himself.
At all.
At all. Before you get to your stat.
By the way, Earl in the YouTube chat says it's because Kenny Rogers knows when to hold it.
Earl, well
That's
done.
Well done, really.
Also,
That's
your really... comment about me being a cheater on these polls is unacceptable.
It's a little Sam Hinkie.
I have always admitted to you when I have seen the poll ahead of time.
You're always within like 2%.
Dude. That's just knowing the fan base and knowing the audience.
All right. Well, you know what? Listen.
Gosh.
You know what? Ultimately, you'll be judged.
I will be.
Ultimately, you'll be judged.
And those pearly gates will open for me and welcome me. Believe it. Don't call me Honest Jay for no reason. Your stat?
My stat is...
Pales in comparison to mine, by the way.
The Orioles are now the second team since the Boston Red Sox, who did it both in 1911 and 1935, to have two separate 14-game or longer losing streaks. Cy Young and Babe Ruth were on each of those teams.
Not the Orioles, though.
No, the Red Sox guys are dead. Thank you. That's how long ago it was, Jay. Now, wasn't that long ago, but about 25 years ago.
This is the best. I am excited for this
25 years ago this month. The movie Tin Cup debuted in theaters. Now, Caddyshack is widely considered the greatest golf movie ever. I think that's completely generational. To be clear, I really liked Caddyshack. I have seen Caddyshack probably 100 times in my life.
That's a lot.
I also think Caddyshack is criminally overrated. It was a good movie.
I 100%. Agree with
wow,
you.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Caddyshack is super overrated.
Now, people take...
It's great for 1980.
Right. And Chevy Chase was amazing.
And Bill Murray.
Right. But, like, the religious fervor people have for this movie. Like, it was a good, funny movie. I think Tin Cup's better than Caddyshack. I said it. So what? So... You might remember this movie. If you haven't seen it, stop everything you're doing. Go watch the movie. Just because it's just an easy movie to watch.
It's the greatest golf movie of all time. To me, it's a top 10 sports movie of all time.
I agree with you. And by the way, Tin Cup is not like, you're not going to get lumps in your throat. It's not Forrest Gump or Shawshank. No one's saying that.
I don't know. I got lumps in my throat when Don Johnson took his car.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that caddy. Made me sad.
Kevin Costner, Rene Russo, Don Johnson, and Cheech Marin starred. It was shot in Texas and Arizona, but supposedly set in North Carolina for the climactic U.S. Open scenes. There were cameos galore, everybody from Phil Mickelson to Johnny Miller to Jim Nance. The film, the movie was filmed in the tiny town of, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, and if I'm not, it should be pronounced this way, Tubac, Arizona. It's T-U-B-A-C, and if it's Tubac, I don't care. I'm pronouncing it Tubac.
Also not Tupac, Arizona.
No. As well as Kingswood, Texas. The fictional U.S. Open in the film was supposedly in North Carolina, but was actually shot.
That wasn't real?
It was supposedly shot at Kingswood's Deerwood Course. Tubac, population 1375, is about 30 minutes north of the Mexico border and about 90 minutes west of Tombstone. More on that in a second if we have time. Kevin Costner contributed the foreword in Gary McCord's book, Golf for Dummies, where he wrote about their relationship and how McCord made Costner's swing look real enough for a feature film. That's right, Gary McCord, who was reporting in the movie, who also, by the way, is not allowed at Augusta, Georgia anymore at the Masters, because he called him, or he said, I forget what it was. He said something about the patrons that they didn't like. Anyways, Gary McCord worked with Kevin Costner on his swing. Tin Cup was the number one movie in theaters the first week of release, made for about $45 million, grossed $54 million in the United States, about $76 million worldwide, making it the number one box office golf film ever. Caddyshack is second at about half, $40 million. Ron Shelton directed the film, had previously worked with Kevin Costner on Bull Durham. Costner's Roy McAvoy character has a romantic interest in Molly Griswold. The role that was reportedly first offered to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Really?
But the filmmakers ended up going with Rene Russo.
I love Michelle Pfeiffer, but Rene Russo just was
I can't imagine
in that
it
role.
Being anybody but yeah. Rene Russo. Weirdly enough, I think Michelle Pfeiffer would have been fine in that role.
Oh, she'd have been fine, but I think Rene Russo is like...
By the way, have you seen the movies that made us Back to the Future yet?
No.
No? You're going to enjoy the footage of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly.
I've seen a lot of that footage online already.
It wasn't that he was offered the role. He had the role, and they filmed six weeks of the movie with Eric Stoltz.
And then realized, like, oh, this ain't going to work.
Kevin Costner's arch rival in the movie, David Sims, portrayed by Don Johnson, who confirmed that there was plenty of partying during the making of the film, as he and Costner were both single at the time.
Oh, boy.
So we just played golf and partied. Listen up. 25 years ago, Kevin Costner and Don Johnson being single and out on the town.
In Arizona and Texas.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no, they're walking into any bar, any party, anywhere, and they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I don't think they got turned down much.
By the way, the role of David Sims, played by Don Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Turned down by Remington Steele, Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I think Pierce Brosnan would have been better than Don Johnson.
I think you're right. And I love Don Johnson in that role. Pierce Brosnan, especially add in that little accent. Now, the problem is, how do you do that? Either Brosnan has to cover the accent.
I'm sure he could.
Or they have to get rid of the whole Costner and Don Johnson grew up together thing. You see what I'm saying?
Either way, he would have killed the role.
After taking a 12 on the 18th hole in the movie, holing out from the fairway with the last ball in his bag, Roy McAvoy's final round score in the fictional U.S. Open was a 78. He finished a 1 under 287 after posting scores of 83, 62, 64, 78. The scene where he hits ball after ball into the water actually happened to Gary McCord in the 1986 FedEx St. Jude Classic in Memphis, Tennessee, when he hit 5 in the water and carded a 16 on the hole to cap a round of 87.
Just Costner holding his hand out for the ball is like engraved in my mind.
I mean, let's be honest. How great, this would be a separate podcast on its own. How great would it have been to be on that set? And finally, just for you, because we talked about how this film was shot just 90 miles east of Tombstone, Arizona, where the shootout at the OK Corral is. You ready to have your head spin a little bit?
Sure.
In the movie Tombstone, Val Kilmer says famously to Johnny Ringo when challenged, "I'll be your Huckleberry." Remember the line?
Yes.
A hucklebearer was known as a person who carries a coffin, essentially a pallbearer. Mm-hmm. According to the theory, what Doc Holliday should have said in the film is, "I'm your hucklebearer." The story goes that Val Kilmer accidentally said huckleberry instead, and they left the line in the movie. The line historically and accurately should not have been, "I'll be your huckleberry," but it should have been, "I'll be your hucklebearer." Not the same. Well done, but I didn't want that information in my head.
Ruin the whole movie.
The whole movie's
ruined
now.
You'll never watch Tombstone again.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Have you ever seen anything like that before? Hell, I had never heard anything like that before.
Also, Christy in our YouTube chat, never seen Tin Cup. Do I ban her?
I have enough issues with my wife in movies. I don't need my chat wife in movies. Just get it together, people. What's on tap once in a blue moon just happened? What's on tap crossover next?
Yeah, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh!
What's on tap? Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Contra.
Contra, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Boom. Attaboy.
Yeah, that's two players, that's unlimited lives, and here we go.
It's 30 lives, what, it's not unlimited.
Whoever got to 30 lives, who cares? Contra, yep, the most famous quote. Or code, I should say. Sorry.
I was going to say, you're all over the place. You weren't expecting Contra, were you?
No, you know what? No, I'm looking at, I shouldn't be multitasking on the text line. Text line, there's two texts today from the 209 from this particular texter. And I don't, these are completely out of context, or one of them is. The first one is Lanzo Ball.
Oh, I love Lanzo.
L-A-N-Z-O. I don't know.
Loved him in Empire Strikes Back.
I don't know what that was in context to. And the other one is, Tin Cup is horrible. You need to be punched in the junk.
Okay. Is there a way to ban people on the text line? Because that's a bannable offense.
Hey, but hold on. Where's the text from?
209.
Okay.
But don't we kind of give the 209 a little leeway?
The 209's like your uncle that you love, but he shows up every Thanksgiving, drinks a little too much. He's a little too loud. He throws something, and then he falls asleep on the couch and snores while football's on. You love him. He kind of stinks. It's kind of embarrassing, but you always invite him because he's family. That's like the 209 to me.
Okay.
I got family in the 209. Ripping California, ripping Chiefs represent. Everybody thinks I hate the 209. I don't. I love them. It's just, the 209 is the drunk uncle of Northern California.
Ripping Chiefs represent?
Ripping California.
I know what
they are. The Ripping
Chiefs. I understand, but you're a Ripping Chiefs represent.
Yeah, I got nephews that played for the Ripping Chiefs.
Oh, do you? Do you have Ripping Chiefs gear?
I actually have a Ripping Chiefs hat somewhere that I can find. Not Ripon.
If you find it, can you wear it tomorrow?
Of course I will. I was gonna wear my Victory in Vegas shirt yesterday. I couldn't find it. I tore up the entire house. Turns out it was outside. I'd left it on a chair. Way to go, Dave.
Bad boy.
Better movie is the poll out right now, and boy, has that flipped around. Caddyshack, 67%. Tin Cup, 33%. I'm very surprised at that.
Wait, 67% of people said Caddyshack is better than Tin Cup?
That's now down to 63%.
Bro, delete your account and get all of these people out of your life.
I know. What is the approval rating of Luke Walton? We are now at 36% approval, 64% disapproval.
Getting closer to that 75% over.
And 87% of you against 13% approve of Monty McNair. The 801, wherever that area code is, wants us to make the Tin Cup hater cite their reasoning. Why? You're just gonna. My guess is if it's
someone from the 209, they're like thinking of a completely different movie and thinking it's Tin Cup.
Right. They're thinking of like Ishtar.
Right.
With Dustin Hoffman, Warren Beatty.
Something of the nature.
That's just a. You're not gonna have too many Ishtar takes.
Gosh.
Crossover time.
Right now?
Why not?
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
Hi, Dave and Jay.
Hi.
Crossover time.
Hey.
Today, by the way, my co-host on the show is going to be KCRA's Michelle Dapper. So make sure your crossover is Dapper friendly.
What's the haps,
good
Daps?
Question for Michelle Dapper for us this afternoon. But my question for you, with Michelle coming in from KCRA Channel 3, they have a news team there. So with our current roster at KHDK, which, granted, we know it's a little thinner right now, create a news team from our KHDK resources. Who's our anchor man? Ron Burgundy. Sports, weather, person on the street. Got to fill out that roster of a KHDK news team.
Okay. So many ways this could go. Jason is just the straight anchor, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's no easy. Doubt about it. So anchor is raw. That's easy. All right, I think Chris is probably our person on the street.
For sure.
Okay, so POS, Chris Verlod.
That shouldn't have been as funny as it was, but it is.
Jay Johnson, is he sports or weather?
Jay Johnson's our EP.
Executive. Oh, so
yes.
Wow. So Jay Johnson is off camera?
Jay Johnson is running the newscast.
Wow.
The same way he kind of runs the afternoon show.
Wow. Okay. So Jay Johnson's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves what? Weather and sports.
Yeah.
And you and me.
And Chris, or no, Chris is on the streets.
Yeah.
On the streets.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. You want weather or sports? I'll let you choose.
I think sports is the obvious. Dude, let me be the weatherman.
Okay, I'll do sports.
I would love that so much, and I think you'd be fantastic at weather. So we're going to go Jay Ross, the anchor boss, as your anchor person, with Jay Mars on sports, Carmichael Dave on weather, and our roving on the streets POS. That's person on the streets, Chris Verlod.
I think that's actually super accurate of how the whole thing
too.
Would go down.
I'd be curious if Jason put something together. Yeah. Leland on the chat says, Dave is a weather person. It's going to rain.
Yeah, you're the what's the weather guy from Family Guy. That's definitely you.
That's just short to the point. Yeah. Oh, no, what would probably happen is, like, they throw it to me for weather, and I'd be like, well, the weather report coming up in just a minute. Before we get to the weather, though, what's the deal with doghouses? I mean, my gosh.
And we'll throw it to Carmichael Dave in the Weather Center. There's just you, like, unprepared eating popcorn. Oh, it's my turn?
That's exactly we're going to be, it's Sacramento. It's hot and smoky. It sucks. I hate the weather.
Oh, my God.
Back to you.
Do we have to have, like, a newsy question since Dap's coming on today?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Crossover time. By the way, Michelle Dapper.
Welcome to KHDK.
Truly one of my favorite people in the world. I love her so very much. And Michelle Nacho says hello. My dog and Michelle absolutely bonded when she was at my house for a report when we were all doing COVID.
Melissa know this?
Keep that in context. Love you, Daps. Be awesome. You're always awesome. She truly is.
It's the end of the show, Dave. She's already been awesome for like damn near 3 hours. Can you get to the question, please?
Just let me give her flowers. Is all I'm saying. All right, both of you. We were talking about the movie Tin Cup. 25 years this month, Tin Cup was made. There's a story that Don Johnson said there was a lot of partying going on because at the time of filming, both Kevin Costner and Don Johnson were single. And they were filming it in rural Arizona and rural Texas. So here's my question for the both of you. And you can include Chris Verlod, I guess, if you want the show to stop down. Here's a question. Give me a movie, any movie, that if you could go back in time and just be a fly on the wall on the set, what movie set would you have liked to have been a part of? This is a safe space. All answers are accepted. You guys have a good last few minutes of your show. Michelle, you got my vote for the job.